early church began on Pentecost. And so, Lord God, we ask you that you will revive us again as the choir sang, revive our church again. Revive the church universal. Come now, Holy Spirit, come with all of your quickening power. Come. We need you to come. Come and be among us and be in us. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We invite you here because we know that our coming will be in vain if you don't show up. So come with all of your quickening power and touch all of us. Begin in the altar. Go through the pew like on the day of Pentecost and touch each and every one of us so that we will be filled again and revive again to do your work, to do what you've called us to do, to follow you, to serve you, to love you. Come, Holy Spirit, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost, and I know there are folks that are traveling and away, and you may not be as many as normal, but we could be excited as normal. I said to the 8 o'clock service, you know, I says I'm expecting the energy to be a little bit low at 8, but on the day of Pentecost, we are expecting you all to be ready to say, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord, because it's an exciting time. Pentecost reminds us that it's an exciting time in the life of the church. And once a year at Pentecost, we should get excited, shouldn't we? Am I the only one excited? Am I excited for all of you that the church began? We wouldn't be sitting in church today if the church did not begin at Pentecost. There would be no church. There'd be no following Christ. So the Holy Spirit came, and here we are. And so the song says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me and mold me. Fill me and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. See, when we ask the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh on us, God will melt us and mold us and fill us and use us. And sometimes we don't want to ask God to fall afresh on us because we don't want to be melted. You know, when God starts melting, it's not going to be easy. You know, when he starts melting us, you just don't know what's going to happen. Do you know that, church? Sometimes we don't ask God to do that. Do you know when we sing these lovely songs, we don't know what we're asking God. Do you know that? Sometimes I look at the word. You know, the choir was singing, and they were saying, fire in the holy church. Fire. And I'm thinking, the choir is saying, let the fire come on the holy church? I'm thinking, the fire should come. What will we do if the fire shows up right this minute? Would we run out of here? Think about it. Because we're asking these words in these songs, and if God really answered them all the time at the right time, we'd be running out of here, wouldn't we? Because a fire would be coming, or maybe we would stay and be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. You should listen to the words of the song sometimes. It speak the scriptures. And this song today spoke the scriptures. Spoke the scriptures. You think I'm not listening, but I am. Listening to the words, and it spoke the scripture. Fill us and let the fire come upon the church and revive the church, and they'll be marching. That's some of the words. And I didn't even see the song. But I remembered it as they were saying. I think about it, because that song was given a little bit history of the church marching forward. Because they believed. They believed. They were filled and they believed, and they were persecuted. Things happened to them. They were persecuted, and all, but they kept marching and doing and serving because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit today. And so, and this reflection, my sermon title today is, We Need Christ in Us. And I read it, go this little reflection. It says, a little girl was visiting her grandmother one beautiful spring morning. They walked out into the grandmother's flower garden. As the grandmother was inspecting the progress of her flowers, the little girl decided to try to open a rosebud with her own two hands. But no luck. As she would pull the petals open, they would tear or bruise or wilt or break off completely. Finally, in frustration, she said, Grandma, I just don't understand it at all. When God opens a flower, it looks so beautiful. But when I try, it just comes apart. Well, honey, grandmother answered, there's a good reason for that. God is able to do it because he works from the inside out. Did you get it? In order for God to work from the inside out, we need Christ. God works from the inside out. So when we start working from the outside, right, nothing, it doesn't last. Nothing really happens. You know, like when we put on makeup. Like this morning, I was working from the outside to come here to look good. This is all from the outside, isn't it? Put on a little makeup, a little lipstick. It's from the outside. But from the inside, and if I don't put on a makeup tomorrow morning, I won't be looking that good. Do you know what I mean, church? You see me, you wonder, whatever happened to her? Right? Is she all right? Do you know I was working with someone and she didn't have on any makeup that day, and I never saw her without her makeup, and she looked really different. Her eyes looked different. So I thought she was stressed out, and I kept saying, is everything all right? Because I didn't quite know. And she says, no, because I didn't have my makeup on. So, you know, we have to keep putting on, when we're working from the outside, we got to keep touching it up, right? We got to keep, but when we're working from the inside, when God is working from the inside, guess what? It's up to God and the Spirit of God. So my sermon title, which says we need Christ in us, means that we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. I want to let you know today that I said earlier that God in us, Christ in us, is the Holy Spirit. I know we are afraid of the Holy Spirit sometimes, especially when we said the Holy Ghost. Lord knows we don't want to have the Holy Ghost. I know that the other churches that say the Holy Ghost, Methodists just want to say the Holy Spirit because it's kind of nicer. But it's either the Holy Ghost, the early church said, or the Holy Spirit. And because there is a triune relationship between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God's representation of himself in us. It is Christ in us. It is Christ working in us in the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Christ in us. So don't think the Holy Spirit is hocus pocus. Yes, it can do some mighty things in our lives. But Christ in us is his Holy Spirit. And so we want to be filled with that. And so today on the day of Pentecost, we want to be filled with that third person of the triune relationship of the Trinity. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that we allow the Holy Spirit to occupy and control every area of our lives. To occupy and control every area of our life. And as I was saying to the kids today about the seminary professor, about those story, I really read that a seminary professor did that. The seminary professors says that when he was teaching his seminary students about being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were just sitting there, not quite, just looking around, not thinking, not interested. And then he came into class with two glasses of water. He brought two glasses of water and two packs of the Alka-Seltzer. What a smart seminary professor. And I saw that last night, and because I kind of take Tums, and Tums don't fill it with the Holy Spirit like Alka-Seltzer. So, I normally take the Tums, but Alka-Seltzer. So I didn't have the Alka-Seltzer. I would have brought it, and I didn't have time this morning. So he says he brings the two glasses of water in with the Alka-Seltzer, and he drops a packet of the Alka-Seltzer with the wrapper into the glass. Then he plops an unsealed packet into the second glass and watch it fill with fuzz. Right? So he's demonstrating to these brilliant folks going for their MDiv, and he says to his students, both glasses have the Alka-Seltzer, just as all Christians have the Holy Spirit. But notice how you can have the Holy Spirit and not his filling. Notice how you can have the Holy Spirit but not filled by the Holy Spirit. Our goal is to live in such a way as to unwrap the packaging around the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. That's what we should be doing. When we come to church, when we read the Bible, when we hear the word, when we pray, we really should be seeking the Holy Spirit to be unwrapped, allow it to be unwrapped and working us, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to empower us to do God's work. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit worked from the inside out. And so Bill Hybel tells this story about how he was coming from a funeral with him and his wife, and he saw this older lady, and he had promised God that he would do whatever God says to him, and you know, to tell him to do. And he had just promised God, but he was busy, and he wanted to leave with his wife because they were just come from a funeral and they had to go. But he noticed this woman struggling with these packages. And he heard a whisper from God. You know when God whispers like that to you? Has God ever done that to you? Whisper in his ear, go help her. And he didn't want to, because he was checking his iPhone. Did not want to. Gotta go. But he felt God was watching, and so he stopped. And he went to ask the lady, can I help you? Not realizing that the complex that she lived in, that complex was... Her section was way much farther than he thought. And then the bags that she had were real heavy because she had bags of peaches in it. So he had said yes to this. And when he picked it up, he could hardly manage. But he knew he had said yes to God, and he kept walking. He said now he realized that she had emphysema and she had arthritis. So she was going slower than normal. So it took them forever. Every couple of minutes, she has to stop to breathe. She had to stop to breathe because she could not keep going. And so he continues and he walks with her. And then he gets to her house finally. He said when he got to their house, they were all tired. He was tired. She was tired. He said it took us a full 30 minutes to make our way to our apartment. And by the time we arrived, we were tight. I had learned more about this dear woman's life than I could ever have hoped to know. We entered our mother's home, and I set the sacks down, and as he did, he went to shake her hand. And as he shook her hand, the woman left her bony, wrinkled hand in his. He said she left it in my hand long after the handshake was done. He said, and then she said to him, I will believe to my dying day that God sent you to help me just now. He said, God had whispered a simple instruction my way, and this time I actually slowed down to listen. There is no greater feeling in the world than to hear and heed God's voice. I have come to believe over time that it is the little acts of obedience that invite God's power to fully flow in our lives. And when you and I prove ourselves faithful with small whispers, he entrusts us with bigger ones. And when we follow through on the big ones, and those big ones, big kingdom results can be gained. God, you see, works from the inside out. That is the Holy Spirit of God, whispering to us at all times, speaking to us, church, at all times. And so we are reminded that He begins that work, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we are supposed to listen. So here we are now commemorating the day of Pentecost today, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let us first remember that Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit. He had promised the Holy Spirit to his disciples. It wasn't news to them. We've just read in the gospel narrative, it just said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another friend, you see, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. That means, church, it is good news for us who believe in Jesus Christ, because we are the only ones who can receive the Holy Spirit. We who believe in Christ, accept him as our Lord and Savior, can receive and will receive the Holy Spirit. There's no other religion that speak about a Holy Spirit living in them the way we do. The Holy Spirit that tells us something. I said this morning, and I will share it now, that sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, you know, we Holy Spirit works on big things and little things. And one of the little things the Holy Spirit works on, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will tell you when, you know, if you're gossiping a little bit. I know none of you wonderful Christian folks here don't gossip. But for those of us who gossip every now and then, you know, me included, all of a sudden you're talking about somebody and you're saying something, and guess what? There's something in you that says, don't say that. You know it's the Holy Spirit that's getting into your business. Do you know that? Don't say that. The Holy Spirit works on the little things. Don't you say that it's going to make trouble. Have you ever done that, saintly people, heaven-bound people? A couple of people in the back are racing. You're in the same group with me, aren't you? So every now and then we say something because the Holy Spirit knows it's going to make trouble when you're done, right? So he works on the little things. It's that little voice, a little small voice you hear says, don't do that. Don't sin against God. And we don't think that gossip is a sin, but gossip can be because it could make trouble, can't it? And then there's big sins and little sins and white lies and green lies and yellow lies. You know the whole story. So the Holy Spirit continues to work when you are serving the Lord and following the Lord. That thing that we think is that conscience we call, it's not conscience. It is the Holy Spirit guiding and telling us. Because Jesus is going to say to his disciples right here, I am going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to live. He's going to live in you. This is the Spirit of truth. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you, Jesus said. He will be in you. So if you're a Christian and you don't believe you have the Holy Spirit in you, I'm telling you, you got it wrong. You got it wrong, because Jesus says he's in you. He's in you. In you. He says, I have said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And then he will say, my peace I leave you. And so we know that the promise of the Holy Spirit was made to the disciples and those who gathered in the upper room. And so we read in the book of Acts, as I summarize that story, that Jesus had ascended into heaven, and he had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And now here's where the story picks up for Pentecost. The disciples came back to the upper room waiting and wondering, I'm sure, and some of them, they were probably grumbling impatiently and nervously. Because, you know, they're waiting, and not everybody's holy and just praying. We're human beings. Some folks praying every now and then. It's like when I'm praying, like when we're praying too long here, or if I'm preaching too long, somebody here is saying, is she still going? You understand, because we are Christians, but we're, come on now, church, right? We're Christians, but we're human beings. So you could imagine some of the folks could be saying, and where's the Holy Spirit? Because they probably was expecting what? A human being for the Holy Spirit. Someone to walk in, physical present. And who knows, some of them might be saying, what in the world are we doing here? Why are we waiting so long? All this waiting for the Holy Spirit. How many hours now we are praying? All night long they were in the upper room praying. Some of them probably fell asleep, didn't they? More than all night long. The scripture says, how many days were they in the upper room? Bible-believing folks, Bible-reading folks, they were in the upper room for a little while, right? Praying. And they didn't see the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine that somebody might have said, he's gone to heaven and he didn't remember to leave? You know, because you get worried now. It's over. We just have to face this by ourselves. What is this business about the Holy Spirit? Maybe some of them checked their phones, checked their iPad, checked their iPhone. Some of them were texting, like when we all, you know, texting in the church. People, maybe we misunderstood him, you know, because you're in the upper room trying to figure this out. And then the Bible tells us something miraculous happened. Just then they heard a sound. The breath of God began to blow on that place like the rush of a wind, a mighty wind. And the Hebrew word for the breath of God is ruach. You get the Hebrew sound, you know, it's ruach. The very sound of that Hebrew word sounds huge, isn't it? It's the ruach, the very breath of God, the wind, right? The ruach, it's R-U-A-C-H, it's the sound of Hebrew. The ruach, the very breath of God, and in the Greek, it's the pneuma, the pneuma of God in the Greek. But it's the ruach, and I love the Greek sound of that word. I love the Hebrew sound of the ruach. Began to blow. God himself would begin to blow. And then the Bible says images of fire danced around them. And suddenly the fear was gone. No longer were they afraid. Because guess what? It was been replaced by the confidence of God. Their confidence was replaced. Courage and strength and unity. And all that they had wondered had been replaced. All of a sudden, they knew something special and mighty had happened. Because God himself had shown up. They had never seen anything like that before. They had never seen or felt anything. Can you imagine, church, if God was to show up in here right now in a different form? Because God is in here. Now, by his Holy Spirit, he's in here. But could you imagine if as I am preaching now, we hear right now, come Holy Spirit, can you just come and show them? Please, Holy Spirit, I'm encouraging you to show up now. I wish you would listen to me right now and come. He's listening, but he's not have to listen to my command, does he? He's going to do it when he's ready. And we just start hearing this mighty wind through here and then see tongues of fire on each other. Wouldn't we jump up and run or start to dance and start to praise the Lord? That's what happened to them. And the Bible tells us that on that day of Pentecost, they begin to speak in tongues. Tongues meant in your own tongues because they were from different places. You heard it in the text, right? Medes and Parthian and all the different places. So they spoke their own languages. And they began to worship the Lord in that place. And the Bible tells us that as that happened, as the breath of God moved in that place, people from all over, different backgrounds heard and responded, and 3,000 people were converted on that day. Amen. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I said this morning, I say, now, Holy Spirit, we just want 200 more, 300 more to be converted and come to this church. God, I'm not even asking for 3,000. I speak to him all the time. Holy Spirit, we're just asking for a couple hundred. Frankly, I don't want to limit you, Lord. I'm asking for thousands. But if you send a couple of hundreds, I'll be happy. If you send thousands, I'll be ecstatic. God Almighty, if you send, just send them, Holy Spirit, into this place, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he did it then, he could do it now, can't he? Am I foolish to believe that? I serve an unchanging God, you see. And so on that day of Pentecost, the early church began. And what a movement. I think the lecture is going to go to Acts of the Apostles for a little while, even though we started already. What a movement happened. All of Acts of the Apostle. It's called Acts of the Apostle because the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost and men and women would sell possessions. Men and women would give their life. One woman would follow and they'd become children of the way and they'd be persecuted for the gospel and they believed. And when the early church started, the great saints of the church were martyred, Polygraph and all of them. They were martyred, they were thrown to lions. Just because the move of the Holy Spirit had got into them and they would not stop and would not give up. Church, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit in us, we do not give up and we do not stop. We keep serving the Lord no matter what.
Amen.
Through sickness, as Paul would say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shall death, shall sickness, shall anything, shall lack of job, could whatever it be, nothing shall separate us. We will serve him until the end. We will serve him and follow him until the end, until we hear that well done. We will follow him. It is interesting to note that the three classic symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible remind us of how God works through us and how God works from inside out. So church, when you serve in the church, when you usher, you sing in the choir, work in the pulpit, in the food pantry, whatever you do, work with the youth, whatever you do in the church, it is the Holy Spirit of God working in you. Because there's nothing good that normally we will do without God, those of us who are followers. It's that Spirit of God who says, yes, go serve in that ministry. Yes, go do that. It is that. It's
is that Holy Spirit when we work as a trustee or we work as a finance person, we give up our time and our resources. It is the Spirit of God whispering to our ear, yes, my church cannot go on without you. And what he's saying is, I am, because I set it up that way. God could have set it up another way, but he set it up that way. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to remind you, there are three traditional symbols for the Holy Spirit. Number one is the breath, the symbol of life, the Ruach of God, the Ruach of God, the breath of life. Number two is the fire, the symbol of power. My little confirmants love when I sing this little song, fire, 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 fall on me. There's a wonderful singer here. So, you know, and this choir sang lovely. So, you know, who would want to sing and look so bad? But it's a little chorus, and it says, fire, 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 fall on me. Could you imagine? Fire, 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 fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fall on me. Learned it in Jamaica. You see the Jamaican beat? On the day of Pentecost, a fire fall on me. It's from the Caribbean. Fire, 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 fall on me. And they'd be singing, fire, fire. It sounded like you're dancing, right? Fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fall on me. It's like what the choir sang, except there was a traditional choir. They're singing notes and all of that, but they were asking the fire to come. We're not singing notes. We're just singing the rhythm. Right? We're just singing the rhythm. You understand? Asking the fire to fall upon us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the third one is the descending dove, the symbol of peace. That is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so today, church, this is a great message of Pentecost. It tells us that, number one, we need Christ. We need Christ in us. We need Christ. We need Christ in us. We need him. If you have not accepted Christ, you need to accept Christ. Number two, the Christ in us would live in us as the Holy Spirit. That Christ in us lives in us as the Holy Spirit. Number three, that Christ in us is then the Holy Spirit that works from the inside out. Christ in us is the Holy Spirit that works from the inside out. And so Paul reminds us that for all of who are led by the Spirit of God or children of God, for you do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into or fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. So here are 7 points that what the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. Huh? We are like a battery for Christ. And the Holy Spirit regenerates us. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives us new hearts with new holy desires, in a sense. It gives us new holy desires. Number three, the Holy Spirit transforms our stubborn wills. Transform our will. When we're stubborn, the Holy Spirit transforms us. Number four, the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to embrace the truth rather than reject it, to believe rather than to doubt. Holy Spirit does that. Number five, the Holy Spirit gives us a hunger for righteousness and a desire for him. Number six, thus the new birth transforms the inner person. Inner person. And number seven, from that point, everything that occurs in our lives, good or bad, God uses to make us like Christ. And so, Paul says we are connected to Christ. That when we call on Abba Father, it is the same Spirit that is in Christ that speaks to each other. Church, we need the Holy Spirit, but better still, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Christ in you, Christ in me. And so when you look at your mirror, when you go home and you look at your mirror, look at yourself, you just say, can you imagine? The Ruach of God is in me. The very Spirit of God is in me. We are created in his image, but better still, he would breathe his spirit into us. And because the spirit of God is in us, we could live and move and have our being in him. Don't beat up on yourself now. Just look at yourself and say, the spirit of God is in me. Therefore, I am an overcomer. I can overcome. I could do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can overcome whatever I'm going through because the Spirit of God is in me. Isn't that good news this morning? Praise the Lord on this Pentecost day. Thanks be to God for his Spirit. Amen.